comedian Jim Gaffigan has appeared in That 70s Show, Fargo, Bob's Burgers, and of course, Law and Order, but he may be best known for his stand-up specials and 2 seasons of The Jim Gaffigan Show. Here's a scene from that show. Jim is in court.
Ladies and gentlemen, I realize we live in a politically correct era, and that's a good thing. We should always strive to be more respectful. I believe in equality for everyone. I consider my wife my equal. I mean, when we rent a car, I won't let her drive, but that's not sexism. I just don't want to die.
Jim Gaffigan is in Atlanta this weekend for a live show. When I talked to him 2 weeks ago, he told me there's an argument for comedians not to talk about the news.
So I've toured right before the election, and my friend who opened the show is, he was part of the Occupy Wall Street movement, and he had jokes discussing Hillary and Bernie and Trump, and those jokes went over great. There are topical comedians, and there's, you know, people that deal with, you know, politics or, you know, things that are tabloid topics. But there's also, I think, a desire for a break from it. I mean, I think particularly in this day and age that we live in, there is a desire to, you know, not talk about the political firestorm that we're in, just because, not just because we're inundated with it on a daily basis, but because there's a fatigue on the emotional tax that one can sustain. I mean, I find that, particularly since the election, you bring up the topic of the president or the divide that exists in our country, and people just start looking at the ceiling, you know? So I feel like my type of comedy is kind of unintentionally, but I think it's kind of a break from it.
Do you think it's harder to get people to laugh about it, that you want to avoid it because they want an escape, or it's just people are not ready to laugh about it?
People are definitely always ready. You can make anything funny, but I think that we're in the middle of it, and there are a lot of outlets that, you know, whether it be late night shows or, you know, just social media hammering the topics. But I think there's something about it, just a safe place to not talk about it. You know, it's kind of, even, you know, in family settings, people have different opinions on it. So it's like, it's nice to just maybe come and hear me talk about how fat and lazy I am.
Well, you're going to be performing in Atlanta, which is, of course, the South. I wanted to play a couple clips of you in terms of things that you've said about Southerners before. Here's a clip from your comedy special, Obsessed.
People in the South are nicer, but they're slower, right? And I don't mean intelligence-wise. They just move slower. It's like, hey, your house is on fire. All right. I'll get to that. But first I need to drink me some sweet tea. Then I'll deal with that pesky house, man. And I figured it out. It's the biscuits and gravy.
Do you eat biscuits and gravy? Is that where the...
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, it sounds like that joke comes from the way you felt after you ate biscuits and gravy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember going to Atlanta and performing at the Punchline Comedy Club. I mean, this was 10 years ago. And I would do morning press, and then I would go back to the hotel and have the breakfast buffet and having biscuits and gravy. And it was a little bit like being given a sedative. So it was, you know, biscuits and gravy. I mean, sure, you can kind of get them, you know, in other parts of the country, but, like, you know, in the Southeast, that's where, you know, that's the home of biscuits and gravy. I'm still waiting for the diet biscuits and gravy.
Good luck. It's not going to happen in Atlanta. Let's hear the other end of that joke from Obsessed.
The South will never rise again because they don't have the energy. Because most of their dishes involve paper mache. They're essentially eating pinatas down there. That's why they talk that way. Because after you eat biscuits and gravy, you can't be expected to say you and all.
Good biscuits and gravy, y'all.
How do you change your act or your jokes, or do you, as you move around the country?
I don't. I'm always writing, but the hour that I'm working on is, it's always new when I come to a city. I space out performances that way. But the hour doesn't change. It's like maybe it's just the conversation might change. You know, stand-up is very much a conversation. So how people respond to it might be different. So like that joke, has just a different meaning for someone that lives in the South than, say, someone that lives in Northern California. They might view it much more as a cliche, whereas someone in the South might be like, yeah, that's right. The last time I had biscuits and gravy, I was pretty much a waste. Or people would know you would have biscuits and gravy on, like, say, a weekend after church rather than, like, before you go to work.
Yeah, that would be a little heavy for work. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jim Gaffigan. He comes to Atlanta this weekend for a live show. I wonder how you feel about the kind of, in some ways, new role comedians are playing in politics these days. I mean, there are actually comedians at this point that are being discussed in political reporting and in journalism and by politicians. They become part of our discussion. Jimmy Kimmel is now part of the political math when you talk about healthcare. Would you consider that to be a good thing or not?
Well, I think comedians have a responsibility to the truth, and so I don't see there's anything negative about it. I think that particularly, that's something that is personal and important to Jimmy Kimmel. So I think it's, as long as it's motivated by the right intention, I don't think there's any boundary. I don't think there's anything unusual with, Mark Twain was very much, commenting and probably influencing politics of his day. So I think it's all good. It's like the dialogue, but again, it's context. So it's like Jimmy Kimmel talking about politics is great. I think that, when people come to my shows, they, I think there's kind of like, all right, let's take a break from this. Like we all, I'm not being naive or there's not a bubble that where it doesn't exist. I might make a reference or two, like we live in these tense times, but I'm not gonna, relitigate, the news that we've all been dealing with daily.
How difficult was that when you were first starting out to stick to that principle that I'm gonna be the one that doesn't fill my act with, cursing or sexual jokes?
Well, to be honest, I found my, I am from a small town in Indiana, so I think the comedians kind of get a lot of credit or criticism for doing the type of act they would do anyway. And when I started, I tried to find my voice, tried on different kind of, tones and, personalities, I guess, and you end up just kind of being the one you're gonna be at the beginning. So, for me, it's not that I don't find politics fascinating or that I don't, enjoy an off-color joke. It's just that I think I'm from a small town in Indiana, so like if I was talking in front of a large group, I would be less likely to curse, or it would be, from my town, it would be like unnecessary. Like you might curse if you stub your toe, but like if you're talking about, say, muffins, it's not necessary to curse. So it's just kind of like what makes sense for my persona.
That's comedian Jim Gaffigan. He performs this Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Phillips Arena in Atlanta. To get details and more from Jim's past performances, visit gpbnews.org.